W2TTT, this is NZ2K with antenna propagation questions for the net. Over.
Okay, I was going to do it by call sign, but okay, Paul, we'll do NZ2K first with a question. That's good. Excellent. So any other November stations wishing to check in, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question or comment, both or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. No other November stations. Oh, well. All right. And how about those ever-popular Alpha stations? Any station with a call sign being with Alpha, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. How about the whiskey stations? Any whiskey stations?
This is W2JEK done. No question.
Okay, Don. Very good. Good evening to you. Any other whiskey stations?
WE2R, Charlie, no questions or comments.
Good evening, Charlie. Any other whiskeys? Alrighty. I think Don has an announcement for Saturday. Maybe beyond, but we'll see. Any Kilo 2s?
K2AMI. No questions, no comments at this time. I'm sorry, maybe some comments along the line here, but no emergency comments. Back to net.
Alrighty. Good evening, Tony. Any other Kilo 2s?
K2DSL, David. Mobile at the moment, no questions or comments.
Evening, David. Alrighty. Any other Kilo 2s? Okay, any other kilos?
K-A-2-F-B-L. Frank. So far, no comments, and I probably will have something later.
Evening again, Mike. No problem. Alrighty. And he's not here on Echolink, but I do have I'm going to reflect a conversation. It was a technical question that was delivered directly to me by none other than KC2PYB on the phone the other night, or the other morning, I can't remember which. Anyway, it was the other night, and he passes along his greetings. Richard is in Las Vegas, New Mexico, where he lives six blocks from his son, daughter-in-law, and grandchildren, which is wonderful, wonderful. And let's see, what else? Any other stations wishing to check in? We'll take your call now. Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. Okie dokie. Well, let's get on to our questions. Before we get too far afield, NZ2K, Paul, it's your first time on the net. Your question is going to go first, so fire away, K2BAR.
Hey, good evening, everybody. K2BAR in the group, NZ2K. My name is Paul. Location here is in Bergen County, in a town called Hillsdale. Just had a quick question. I have been having some discussions with some friends on 10 meters that probably live about 30 miles away. And I know we can get very detailed and intricate into this. I'm not looking for very, very specific answers. I just have a question. Is there a way that you can actually map path loss? Is there some sort of software that's out there that if a friend of mine, let's say down in Basker Ridge, has a 10 meter antenna, and let's say it's ideally one wavelength off the ground, and I have a 10-meter dipole, which is broadside to his antenna, and my antenna is one wavelength off the ground, and barring any big hills and stuff in the way, is there a way that it could actually look at the difference in the polarization? Ideally, is there a way I could, I mean, like, again, I'm asking a lot of questions about this, but is there either someone who has some knowledge on this, or is there a rule of thumb or something like that when you're cross-polarized and trying to work each other on a band, just let's say 10 meters, for example, is there a rule of thumb how much difference there is? Is there a numerical value such as maybe 20 dB or 30 dB? Again, I'm not taking a lot of things into consideration here, but is there something or some software that could help you with this? Back to Ned from NZ2K.
Okie doke. Well, yeah, there is actually. The general rule of thumb is start at 20 dB of attenuation and it gets worse from there. Having said that, you might find that that there's some enhancement. There's probably further degradation. There's a really cool program that's been used for a lot of modeling, even in fixed locations and even on low band, which I'll call 10 meters low band, called Radio Mobile Deluxe. There's a group on Yahoo Groups. If you look at the Radio Mobile Deluxe group, or just Google it, you'll find it to be a nice modeling program. And, oh, by the way, it can also model the terrain in addition to just free path loss. So that's a good thing. Personally, I don't think you're going to have a great luck on that path, but given the cross-polarization. But, hey, I've been wrong about, you know, more obvious things. So what the heck? Anybody else have any comments for Paul? That's a good question.
W2JK.
Go ahead, Doc.
Okay, this is W2JK. Do I have it?
I do. I think someone else wants to come in there too, but we'll get to that next. Go ahead, Doc.
Okay, you, Paul. This is on W2JEK, and I had an experience on 6 meters, working a fellow from River Edge, which is just north of Hackensack here, into Staten Island. I don't know just whereabouts in Staten Island. And it was a cross-polarization. He had a vertical. I had a dipole, a horizontal dipole, and I could hardly hear him, and we had rough contact. I have a 40-meter dipole at the time that was a sloping dipole, and I switched over to that, and because it was sloping and it had some vertical polarization, it made a tremendous difference in there. And, I would say for, you know, maybe a short-range kind of a thing, you can get away with losing 20 dB or whatever, but if you're trying to do regular contact pretty regularly, the advice is that both have the same polarization. One thing that I do here with my thing on 6 meters is I have a horizontally polarized antenna for the simple reason that everybody else is horizontally polarized. Or I'm working a contest and not so much for the skip where we're dealing with sporadic e-skip, but when we are using local skip, if you want to call it that, to get out to those distance stations, I want to avoid the cross-polarization loss. So I definitely use a horizontally polarized antenna for that reason as well. Maybe give you some insight on the problem. Back to that, W2J.
Good advice. The end advice is get the same polarization.
Anybody else? Is there somebody else who wants to comment?
Mr. OEO?
Ding Noel, go ahead.
As you know, Sarah has a 10-meter net. And somebody gave me this nice, they call it a big stick, TV antenna. And with a little tuning, it works very nicely on 10 meters. Except it was vertical. And basically, the only person that could hear me good was NS2K because he had a vertical antenna. Everybody else in the net except for Tony, who's like next door to me, less than a mile away. Tony had it easy, and I had poor copy of most people. Most people were way down in the noise. When I went to this horrible G5RV, which had a 25-to-1 SWR in 10 meters, it worked far better because it was horizontally polarized at 2 AM.
A very worthwhile lesson to be gleaned from that. Anybody else have some suggestions? Okay, Paul, back to you for your thoughts.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. This conversation stemmed from talking to a ham that I haven't been in touch with in a long time, and he has a vertical antenna that he put up. It's about one wavelength up off the ground, and he was very optimistic about us being able to make a contact some 30, 35, 40 miles away, and with a dipole that's probably about one wavelength off the ground, and even though it's pretty much oriented in this direction, I told him I didn't think we would be able to make a contact just for that reason alone, which got me thinking about a whole lot of different things, and you guys have confirmed what I suspected. I just did not know how much of a loss it would be. It's actually quite staggering. Doing some calculations here, it's amazing how much difference there is in cross-polarization. So I thank you very much for all the help and the rule of thumb and for the software program. I wrote that down. I'm going to go check that out a little later on. That's all I have for the net. Thank you very much, everybody. And I'll turn it back to K2BAR from NZ2K. Thanks, Gordon.
Well, I've got a little bit more for you to ponder. That's okay, K2BAR, W2TTT. Well, what you may want to do, 10 meters is one of those funny bands where it doesn't hurt to have both a horizontal and a vertical antenna because of the nature of the user community, both in the near field and also in the DX realm. So what you might want to do is make a ground plane antenna out of wire and feed it straight down from the driven element, and then put three radials or even one or two radials underneath it off at an angle, preferably in the direction you want to speak. And what you can do is you can hang it from a tree way up high. So that's something to consider as well. It would be well worth the effort. So, do consider that. It would be a lot of fun to do and implement. So, and again, my offer for shooting stuff in the trees is probably still there. And my guess is if I can't do it, there's at least two other guys in Barra who have air shooters of one form or another to put cable into the air. So, one more for you. It's a 2K KTBAR.
My thoughts are that's a great idea. It certainly doesn't hurt to have an extra antenna up there. And probably for that application, that would work really good. And most people are horizontal. I think that's a great way to work stuff locally and also in the distance, but since this gentleman is running a vertical antenna, I
think maybe I'll oblige him by putting something up high. I could probably go up about 50 feet, put an antenna up there, and hang it out of the tree. That's a good idea. And the antenna's not that big anyway. A quarter wave wouldn't be that bad. Vertical. Back to you, Gordon. K2BAR, NZ2K. Just getting set up here as we go along.
Good evening, K3ITG, Mobile 2.
K3ITG, welcome to the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are you, do you have a question or comment for the net? Would you like to make a reservation for it, or are you just checking in to say hello and welcome aboard?
I'm sorry, I didn't know there was a net going on. I'm just checking in, I guess. I'm heading down New Jersey 17 here, southbound. Just left Mahwah there. I'm, Saddle River, Upper Saddle River, whatever you want to call it here, Woodcliff Lake area. The name here is Mike Alfa Romeo Kilo, and the call is Kilo number 3, India Tango Golfers. I like to say Interstate Trucker Guy. Just checking in to support the net.
Welcome aboard. You're more than welcome. And every Thursday night at 9 p.m. on this repeater, we have a technical net. This repeater is an Alpine. It also is available via Echolink. So if you're out of range and you just want to dial in to Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet-L, you can either talk on the net or just monitor the net. You're more than welcome to do that as well. The Echolink is Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet-L. And, of course, it's 146.955. It's a repeater with a 4 APL. So welcome aboard. Alrighty. Let's see. Alright, so anybody have any comments about hanging 10-meter dipoles from either towers or trees or whatever, slopers? I'm thinking a ground plane with two radials, you know, in the general direction where he wants to go, or three radials if he wants to just tether them out and have the coax come straight down. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Please call K2BAR. Well, build yourself a ground plane and try it. What the heck? I think it'd be really cool, Paul. And we'll parachute cord, go to Camp Moore, buy some parachute cord, get some inflators, and away you go. Be perfect. You can even fabricate it. If you have plastic milk bottles, you can even fabricate some inflators if you need to, or if you have some extra heavy plastic, go to Home Depot and see what you can find that's not going to get too brittle in the cold and UV. Just to get you through the winter and see how that works for you. Alrighty, anybody else on this topic? Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, Casey Storrs, checking in, Gordon.
Evening, Robert. Report. Okay. Alright, SS2K, back to you.
Actually, give me some great ideas also. Other things to try also. In the vertical realm, but I'll try that first anyway. I think out towards Basking Ridge there really is not much in the way of obstructions. Well, I have Garrett Mountain, but I really don't think that's a big problem because the curvature of the mountain. I think I'll be all right, but I think I'll try a ground plane first up there. Just put it way up there, as high in the tree as possible, and do what you said with the radials, any elements of it, and give it a shot anyway. So, from saying I don't think that's possible to saying something like, "I've got a very good idea, let's try it," I think that's a good idea. I'll keep you informed on the progress of it. Back to you, K2BAR and Z2K.
I'm just jealous you have the tree to do it. But then again, I'm not so jealous I don't have to rake the leaves, so.
Very good.
Alrighty. I believe we have an announcement for this weekend. First, Tony, and then Don, regarding the weekend festivities. Tony, K2AMI, K2BAR.
Good evening, Gordon, and the Parasitic. Of course, many of us are well familiar with the fact that this coming Saturday morning, bright and early, even before the sun rises, we'll have a Bergen Amateur Radio Ham Fest. It would be better to get there after sunrise, though, I assure you. But some of the bar guys will be there bright and early, before sunrise. Anyway, it's over at the Westwood Junior Senior High School in Washington Township. It's between Pascack Road and Forest Avenue on Ridgewood Road. Ridgewood Road. And it's near the Bacardi Grill on Pascack Road, if you know that general neighborhood. Admission is $5 for guys who just want to go there and buy and visit. And if you want to be a tailgater or bring your own table, it's $15 for a single space in the parking lot to set up your table or set up your tailgate, whatever you're going to do. And a new addition this year is that Barrow will be doing the food for the club. We have a bunch of lovely ladies in our club called the Barrow Babes, and they are going to supervise preparing breakfast. There will be usual breakfast items, such as bagels and and buns and rolls and egg sandwiches with shell or ham or without. And there'll be coffee, of course, coffee honey, there'll be hot chocolate, and possibly even tea. I'm not too sure about tea, but definitely hot chocolate coffee. And as soon as breakfast is pretty much done, there'll be hot dogs and hamburgers for sale at a reasonable price. Again, it's our first time, so we're trying to find out price points and quantity. So please come and enjoy the food, enjoy the ham fest, and compliment the lovely ladies on their great efforts in producing a breakfast and a lunch for us. Back to that.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good one. Number one, the weather's going to be good. Number two, the last Barra Ham Fest had an extraordinary number of people still in the parking lot at noon. And that has not happened in years past, even when the weather's been nice. So something good is happening. So we'll see if that was a spring characteristic or is it a nice weather characteristic or something else. But I'm very, very pleased to see that. So anyway, hopefully we'll square that away and get to see some good things. What else? Anybody have any questions for Tony regarding the Ham Fest generically before we move on to Don? Okay, well, we'll see you there. Mr. Don, you have some announcements related to the weekend.
K2BAR and the net, this is W2JEK, and I'll be running a test session. There's license upgrades for technician, general, and extra class licenses. And we'll be running them in the first classroom inside the door that says gymnasium on it. This is the door that faces the street on that side of the building where we are. And our test fee will be $15, and you'll be required to have your Social Security number with you if you do not have a license. If you do have a license, you'll need to bring your license and a photocopy of your license. And we use the FRN number on that license instead of the Social Security number when we fill out the form. Also, you need one form of photo ID, such as a driver's license or a passport, or two forms of non-photo ID. And you may use a calculator. However, the calculator may not be part of a cell phone, and you must be able to clear out the memories of your calculator so that there is no possibility that you can have information stored there that should not be available to you during a test. So that's about it. And the directions, of course, to the HamFest are on the bar. www.bara.org, and directions to the ham fest are on the website. That back to net. W2JK.
Very good. All right. Anybody have questions for Doc? Sorry. Someone else had a question for the net tonight besides me. I have one. And it's like someone to relate from Richard PYV. But I'm kind of curious if anybody else has anything before we go to that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to mention that I'm starting this test session at 8 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, I close the door. We'll start no tests after 10 o'clock. I don't want somebody coming in there 5 minutes at 10. Unless I really know they got a problem. I don't want people wandering around the ham fest all day and then coming right before 10 o'clock. Cause our guys want to get out and enjoy some of the ham fest, too. So please try to be there at 8. Back to net, W2JK.
Definitely a good idea. Okay, anybody have a topic they would like to address?
KA2FDL.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'd kind of like to make an announcement about what we've been doing. Problem in Yonkers, I'm in Yonkers. The problem in Yonkers is that there really isn't anything that is made for kids to learn other than regular school. A few of us get together and we actually get into the PAL, which isn't even public anymore. It's actually all volunteer. And we opened up a ham club for the kids. It's actually a ham/computer club for the kids in an old computer room. And we're cleaning it up and we're making a station. We already have a station license. We should be getting our vanity call of N2PAL soon. And I was hoping we were actually going out to the ham fest, and I'm hoping that if any of you have any extra things that you'd like to request upon the nice children of Yonkers, it would be most appreciated.
Very good. You know, that's the one thing that we don't see a lot of is youth-oriented amateur radio clubs. Years ago, Parowan was managed by adults but run by the kids. Literally. All the officers were graybeards, balding, usual characteristics. But those guys all left by 8. The guys who left by midnight or 1 or 2 were the younger guys. And, Paul Cornett's one of those guys. I was one of those guys. And there were others as well. So anyway, it is kind of amazing. So this is a good thing that Mike's doing for the kids in Yonkers. Even with any prior experience with radio clubs, either school or community-based, that we're pretty much focused on youth, either directly or just by, you know, the way it went.
Comment?
Hey, Bennett.
Good evening, KO2. Okay, just a quick comment for that, for Mike. I maybe should check with the Barrett Club first, but, you know, maybe you want to set up a table with a poster. Looking for donations for that kind of not facility, but your setup. Have photocopies of how to get in contact with you and stuff like that, so it reaches a broader audience than just the people listening here. As if Barrow would allow it, I doubt that they have any problem with it. Back to you, Gordon.
Yeah, Mike, if there's a space or manning issue, you're welcome to share one of my tables and have a little blurb out there and some paperwork and such like that. That'd be lovely.
Oh, I would actually appreciate that. Thank you very much, and thank you for the information. Good idea. And I also want to let everybody know, technically, you are all the first people to know what we're doing because our own club doesn't know it yet. Sunday is our meeting, and the president of the club just found out about it today. Yonkers Amateur Radio Club York. Well, I did this one a little bit differently. It's the Yonkers Amateur Radio and Computer Kids. So it comes out the York Kids. And an interesting thing, because you all get to know about it before the members of the club find out. And I will be out there bright and early Sunday, and I'd love to have a little spot with you, Gordon. Thank you.
Except it's Saturday.
My mistake. So I'm thinking Sunday with York. Saturday I'll be there.
I just didn't want to have you stay in the parking lot on Sunday wondering where the hell everybody went.
That would have been interesting.
Certainly one way to frame the answer, yes. Alrighty. So with this in mind, we'll do what you can. Our Boy Scout troop actually is running a tricky tray on the 23rd of October. So I will have little tricky tray flyers, and we're trying to also do some other things that day, getting ready for the tricky tray. We also have a signaling merit badge, well, the merit badge fair the following month in November, and we're going to be running signaling for anybody who needs to finish it. The BSA revived the signaling merit badge just for as a historical badge this year, which is marvelous. And the kids really enjoy the badge, so we had over 400 kids take and finish. Joe taught them semaphore, taught them Morse code. Now, granted, they had the cheat sheet in front of them, but they had to still communicate at a certain character rate, and they did really, really well on Saturday. Albeit with a cheat sheet, but they got the point across. And the requirements of the merit badge do not preclude a cheat sheet. They just require a character rate. So that's kind of cool. Anyway, let's see, what else? Okay, before I move on, anybody have anything more about youth things? Okie doke. So, Mike, we'll see you Saturday morning. Look for the big blue whale, and or have some extra flyers too, so Barrick can put some flyers over by their table as well. I'm sure they'll, as Bennett suggests, we'll be more than happy to do that. So, bring flyers. What I find useful is half-page flyers, that way you get two on a page. Cut them. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, so Richard, KC2PYB, is now, he no longer lives in his apartment in Fort Lee. He used to have an ATIS antenna, variable, screwdriver kind of antenna, on a metal air conditioning box outside his house, his apartment, like six stories in the air. And then he, it was only about maybe 22 inches from the wall of his apartment building, but he could get it to load on all bands without any trouble. So he moves to New Mexico, wood frame building, and lo and behold, it's sitting just about as far. Oh, hold on a second. Okay, sorry about that. My son's doing homework and he needed to get my attention. So anyway, so he gets a wood frame building, same setup, except he's at the ground level, and he can't get it to load up. He says, what's wrong with this picture? I was smack dab against a metal frame building, grounded right near me. You know, the air conditioning box is grounded to the steel frame of the building and everything else. And he said, I had all this stuff, and now it's not working. And I said, Richard, you have no counterpoise. And that was the bottom line. He did not have a counterpoise. So a couple of radials magically solved that problem. But the good news about his wood frame apartment building is that now he's also going to try a 20-meter dipole indoors for the winter, so he doesn't have to go outside. Because even though he's in New Mexico, he's in the part of New Mexico where they might have as much as 3 feet of snow at a shot. It doesn't last long, but he might have 3 feet of snow in a day, just for grins. So he's going to try a 20-meter dipole inside because of the experience with the ADIS antenna. He's also working on getting some radials on it when he goes outside. So that was the moral of the story. It was kind of neat. Anybody have similar portable antenna gotchas? Well, well. Okay. Then I guess that's that for that. So the other topic I had is we've been playing with APRS and EPRS lately, and having a grand time with, in my case, D-Star, and it's been working fantastically well, and have been trying to get others to get on as well, and that's a bit more of a struggle, as I'm sure you can imagine. But if you go to APRS.fi, the Google APRS map website, you'll be able to enter a call sign or a locality and pretty much get what you're looking for in the way of a tracked user. And it's really kind of neat. So if you enter W2MSK or W2TTT, you'll see where he is in relation to everything else. And the fact that he's moved around a bit in the last hour, so you can set a time scope. It shows it defaults to 1 hour, but it also can be set up for the last day or so. I think you have a couple of hours, many hours of options. So it's very neat. So anyway, in fact, it even shows right where I am right now, and that I'm not at my home, which is in fact true. I'm down the block. So there you go. So it's pretty accurate, amazingly accurate. So APRS.fi. And then enter W2TTT, and you'll find out where I am hiding out. And you'll also see a little GPS track of where I've traveled, roughly speaking, in the last little bit. And you can go out to 7 days, I think, which is kind of neat. Anybody play with that? Anyone done APRS tracking? I'm just kind of curious. K2BAR.
K3ITG.
K3ITG, are you in the system as well?
Yes, I am, under a -14.
I think I can just get away with entering K3ITG, but we'll see. I'll do that. The last 24 hours of K3ITG. Let me see, I didn't like that. Did something wrong. Oh, hold on. Sent me to Helsinki for some reason. Standby. Nothing like crashing your computer, but anyway, might use it's fine. But anyway, you might want to take a look at that. You'll find it to be very interesting. APRS.fi is in Finland, which is why it goes to Helsinki when you're when you're not using when it's not sure where to go. So anyway. Anybody else? Questions, comments, confusions about APRS?
This is K2ZO. Just got in here. Don't know what's been going on.
What's been going on here? Anyway, I'll refrain from the Crosby, Stills, Nash, Ohio reference. Something's happening here. What it is isn't exactly clear, right? Anyway. We're talking about APRS right now? All right. You enter APRS.fi and enter a call sign of K3ITG-14, and some time scope for whatever you like, you'll see that our buddy here from Pennsylvania has been bouncing around quite a bit. But they also find out that I've been bouncing around quite a bit as well. So, anyway, very cool. Very nicely done. So I'm trying to think, where did you start and end with today?
I started in Kuylertown, Pennsylvania with the truck today. And I've been from Kuylertown to Jackson Summit, PA, or Millerton, PA, which is just a little south and west of Elmira, New York. And then I went up across I-86 in New York from there down to New York 17 to Chester, New York. And then after Chester, New York, I stopped in Mahwah, got some fuel. And now I'm roaming around the Vince Lombardi Service Plaza, which is like really, 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 really packed with tractor trailers right now, and I'm having a hard time finding a parking space. So if you go back 7 days, it'll show me starting in Jersey, maybe. And I've been from Jersey to a home, to Detroit Metro, to Northern Indiana, to Chicago, and then back again. So it'll show me all over the place.
Saw your 24-hour track. You started north and west of Harrisburg and went up into the southern tier and across to New Jersey, just like you said. Amazing.
Fortunately, APRS isn't like the cellular system. It doesn't have full coverage, or let's say 99% coverage, so you'll see a lot of spots where the tracks went a long way before, and they may even go on a diagonal and not follow any roads, for the most part, it's a fairly reliable system, and very reliable in an area like this. There's plenty of Dizzy Peters and stuff to pick up APRS traffic. Back to you, K3ITG.
Yeah, that's marvelous. I guess the nodes that it shows are the ones that you went through. And because it doesn't show any nodes outside that area. In any case, we have quite a span of distance where it showed you where you were. Very nice, very nice. On a similar track like that, in a week or so, if I head out to Chicagoland, which is the plan for my son's boot camp graduation. Even a very busy boy, I see that. Alrighty, anybody else have any questions about APRS? Just point. Joe Peters, WB4WZZ, bought himself a VX8 in the appropriate configuration to have APRS, and he's been doing that. I went the D-Star route because I wanted to send simultaneous data, not just packet stuff. Or minimal packet stuff, but both are very, very good and require different infrastructure. to support them. One digipeters and the other one hotspots and repeaters for D-Star. But it's been a lot of fun to see how all this evolves. And if you enter my call sign in that box, you will note all sorts of things as well as to where I've been at transmitting. Although there were a couple of days where I wasn't online. So if you track the call sign of W2TTD for 7 days, you'll see a different configuration. Anyway, D-Star can be more than fun, and it is fun, as is APRS. And they're all displayable at this APRS.fi website. Anybody else?
I have a question, K3ITG.
Yes, sir.
In order for your APRS to work on the D-Star system, don't you always have to be in range of a D-Star repeater?
Or a D-Star hotspot. Yes, it has the same basic problem as APRS in that you have to be within, you know, range of a digipeter or whatever that ultimately has access to a gateway to the wired internet.
Okay, and what's considered a D-Star hotspot?
Okay, D-Star hotspots are hotspot repeaters now, or D-VAR hotspots. These are non ICOM boxes. It's a modem, let's say, typically produced by NI2O or whoever, attached to a USB port of a laptop that functions as the repeater slash remote base controller. And you attach that to the internet, and basically it takes in everything, puts it on a repeater or on a reflector, and then burps it back out. If you're operating half duplex, so you go out on every spot except for yours. If you are operating full duplex like a repeater, then it'll function like a repeater. It'll flow through the reflector and share your data to other sides, and it'll take both your voice and your data and propagate it through the reflector.
Okay, something similar to like a DV dongle then. Okay, very good. Well, I don't have anything D-Star. I use a D710 for my APRS. Okay, very good. I was just wondering how it worked through D-Star. K3ITG.
Well, it's pretty much the same once it hits a known spot. Once it hits a known spot, it goes up on the web and fed into the APRS site, so it's all the same at that point. Alrighty. That's pretty cool. Anybody else? I was only a few hundred feet down the street, and I've since relocated, and I just updated my location. What I do in D-Star lands, I don't beacon. I mean, you can, but I don't beacon. What I do instead is I periodically just squeeze my microphone on my location track and go from there. And it works out pretty well. There is one, if you will, disadvantage is that there's no single unified frequency for D-Star APRS type things, or DPRS as they call it, as there is for APRS, which uses 1.14.4.3.9. That's going to change over time. As there are more and more D-Star spots, there will be, you know, tracking sites just like they have in APRS, where the sites will be there just to provide that one function. I do want to say that it's not, these are not like dongles. The way this is set up is that you attach that to a radio, that modem to a radio. I use a DR135 in data mode, and I can drive all the way down into Essex County and still get back into my hotspot here, back here in Bergenfield at my house, and from there I can go
wherever it's attached to all over the world. So that's pretty much how it works, to a reflector and or other repeaters attached to that reflector, not just hotspots. So, anybody else?
K3ITG again.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a point going in through through D-Star, unless the area is set up to pass that kind of traffic, somebody like me using a D710 will not see you. I looked at my station list, and I don't see you in there. So, and another thing, are you aware of UFO?
Yeah, it doesn't pass it out. You have to go to the website to see it. Am I aware, and you took a hit? Sega?
Yeah, are you aware of that program called UIView?
Absolutely. UIView is very cool, and very cool for tracking in the RF space APRS packets.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it doesn't work so well on Windows 7, though. I've never been able to get it to work, or at least to communicate with my radio. But anyhow, very good. I will pass it back to you. This is K3ITG.
Okie dokie. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. And I'm actually going to secure it this time, unless there's anybody else with any last-minute announcements.
Wait, am I with a couple of Barra announcements?
Barra announcements. Mr. Tony.
Okay, coming up on October the 17th is the Barra Fox Hunt. That's Sunday, October the 17th. And the foxes, the hunters will start from the same location as the flea market. That's the back of the Westwood High School at around 12:30 on that Sunday, October the 17th. And 2 weeks later, on October the 24th, there is a crop walk that will be running from Park Ridge. I think it's 95 Ridge Road. I'm not too sure about that, but it's on the website for the Barra Club. Is information, and we'll be using the 146-895 repeater from Rockland County. That'll start around 12 noon, so we need volunteers for the crop walk, and of course hunters for the October 17th fox hunt. Okay, back to that. Everything's on the website, so please check the website.
That's Tony, it's 146-835. It's just one small change. It was the old state line repeater.
Okay, I hope I have it right.
Yeah, 895 will be in Morris County. I think you'll have a problem with that. Okay. Alrighty. So, very good, everybody. Thank you very much for your time and attention tonight. Before we finally call it quits, does anybody have any last questions or comments? Alrighty. Well, thank you, everybody, for a fine evening. K3ITG, thank you for jumping in as well. That was kind of fun. And I appreciate your contributions. And we'll do more on APRS and such like that in the near future. In any case, I want to wish everybody a fine evening and have a great day. This is K2BAR for W2TTT in the group. Wishing everybody a fine good evening. W2TTT, K2BAR clear.